Check.
Mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Welcome to the Two Men Wolfpack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
Welcome back to the Two Man Wolf Pack. As always, my name is Adam, coming to you from my basement in Minneapolis and dialing in from Chicago, my good friend.
In my guest bedroom, Brian.
I know, I like to get real specific with it. I kind of got some Timberwolves gear on the wall down here.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing basketball shorts and a t-shirt right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
I am wearing... The season ticket holders got a flip shirt last year that says We on it. It's an athletic shirt, and it's quite comfortable, and it makes me happy to think of Flip.
Oh, I like how you're wearing Timberwolves gear during the Timberwolves podcast.
I just love the Wolves.
So I should say today is Sunday, November 20th, 2016. It's been 11 days since our last podcast. The Wolves were 2-3 over the 11-day stretch, bringing our overall record to 4-8. We are 7 games back of the Clippers for the one seed in the West. A little surprising that's not Golden State. It's not surprising that we're 7 games back of the one seed. Brian, how's your week?
Week was solid. Busy at work. Watched a lot of basketball. It's nice we're finally hitting the seasons in stride. There's games. I feel like there's good games every night. It's pretty interesting. Yeah, but moving on from the Vikings and getting on to the Timberwolves.
Yeah, we should mention the Vikings are currently beating Arizona in the background. We'll try not to comment on that too much during the podcast. I also watched a lot of basketball, not a lot of non-Wolves games, but I've, you know, the Wolves played 6 games in the last, 11 days, basically. So there's been a lot to watch. I like when they're on almost every other night, even if the outcome isn't always satisfactory. They're still fun to watch.
Yeah, and for the most part, until this Memphis game, we're at least in games and playing relatively well. I feel like the Memphis one was the first garbage one we've had in a while.
Yes, I agree with that. Brian, I'm going to do an agenda before I forget. We got news and notes followed by good, bad, and ugly for the 5 games this week. We have a stats deep dive put together by Brian. Pretty excited for that.
Then we
have a where are they now? Followed by a mailbag. Really good emails this week, guys. We really appreciate it. Keep them coming. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at TWolvesPodcast. Excited to get in the mailbag. And we're actually going to try to save some time to not try to rush through that so much this week because I was impressed with the quality of the emails.
Yeah, they're getting really good, guys. Keep them coming.
They really are. Well, let's get into it, Brian. We have a lot to talk about. First, I want to give a happy birthday shout out to Carl Anthony Towns. I know he listens to the podcast. He turned 21 on November 15th, and the team has been underperforming expectations. But I do think people need to keep in mind, Cat just turned 21, right? LaVine and Wiggins are 21. They're so young, and I forget that often. So happy birthday, Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, they're young, but Zach and Andrew in their third year, obviously they're still getting a lot better.
Yeah, they are.
They know how to play in the NBA at this point.
That's true.
I'm torn because I agree with you, but I'm getting impatient as the way the season has gone on.
Obviously, when the season starts, when we're 4-8 and most people had us pegged as a playoff team, I mean, we still could be. The season's not over, but doesn't look good at this point. But
those are the games we needed to win. The Brooklyn game, we would have been nice to win another one of these Memphis games. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
No. I mean, you're right. Against the mediocre opponents early on, I got to say our schedule so far has not been hard. That's part of what sort of has me down as well. We're 4-8 and we've had a pretty doable schedule for the most part.
Could have had the Nuggets game, Kings game. At a high level, we'll talk about this more in the stats. Some of it is bad variance. When you look at the numbers, there's no smoking gun for what we're bad at. Our numbers are not good in a lot of things on defense, but there's no we're very terrible at this. Some stuff we've actually gotten quite a bit better at, and some stuff we're already good at.
No, but it'll be interesting when we get into the stats deep dive because
let's not build it up too much.
Well, when you look at our offensive efficiency, for example, I mean, it pegs us as one of the best offenses in the league, and our defense isn't the worst in the league. So, you think we'd be around 500 just looking at sort of these high level metrics, and we're not. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, when you look at our net rating, which implies like how many, God, I'm not going to explain this well. As I understand it, it implies how many points positive per 100 possessions we would be. And we should be ahead. Our net rating is 2.8, which is like top 10-ish, 12-ish in the league. But again, we just can't finish out these games. There's a couple garbage teams in there, obviously throwing that off. Like when the Grizzlies didn't play any of their starters, the Sixers are bad. Lakers are actually playing well. We actually just crushed them that game. But
so that basically implies that we're losing the close games.
Yeah, we're on the bad side of variance. And we just need to figure out like more consistently how to win these close games, who to go to, who we can trust. And we're still learning. It'll come in time, but I want to see it start happening soon.
Yeah, I do. You know who else wants to see it start happening soon? All of Minnesota. we got into this, I think, last week, but I just wanted to bring it up again. The Wolves' attendance is still last in the league. We're averaging 13,689. I think that's paid attendance and not actually attendance, because I don't think there's actually... I don't think the team's averaging 14,000 people in the seats every night. Just the games I've been at and watching them on TV, I don't think there's that many people there. But in any case, we're last in the league. You know,
in any case,
the team was obviously, you know, there is a lot of optimism going into the season, and they've underperformed. But I've been surprised, you know, even if we were above 500, it feels like we'd still be, you know, in the last five in the league in attendance.
Yeah, for sure.
Brian, I know it's not a basketball market, but it's not that awful of a market. As we've seen, when Garnett was here, the Target Center was pretty full. Why do you think our attendance is so low?
Good question.
Do you think flash seats may play part of it? Oh,
I like where you're going with this. I do. I mean, once you buy them on flash seats, you can only sell them on flash seats, right?
Yeah, so if you go to StubHub, for example, you can't buy Timberwolves tickets. If you go to Ticket King, which is a big local site, you can't buy Timberwolves tickets. And also that price floor that we've talked about, and there's actually a class action lawsuit pending against the team for that exact reason, makes the games artificially expensive to attend. I will give the team credit. They did sell $6 tickets to the 76ers game via flash seat. So I give them credit for that. But other games, you know, to get in the gate is more expensive than it should be, even for like, you know, like when we play a mediocre team like the Lakers, if you want like a decent seat, you know, you're talking $70.
Yeah, no, I think ticket prices went up like, what, 15% this year?
Yeah, they did go up this year, which I read was because they're going to be good a few years from now and they didn't want to increase the prices then.
They're definitely increasing the prices every year.
That's such a bad excuse.
Nice try, guys.
Yeah, I feel like the Wolves are probably maybe regretting that price increase at this point. I don't know.
It was clearly a bad decision. Yeah, they've been doing this for years, right? They did it a couple years ago, a few years ago when Love was here and we were supposed to make the 8th seed. And, you know, when they make these big hikes, they don't bring them back down. I think there's just a gap between where they're pricing and what people are willing to pay, and they've got to adjust it.
Do you think once we start winning, we'll stop talking about this, or do you think it's still going to be a problem?
No, I think it'll still be a problem. And the other thing to think about when you look at the profit, right? Like they're looking at it on kind of an optimized curve. So at what price will I maximize my profit? And because everything's fixed, you know, they'd much rather have 12,000 people there paying, let's say, $100 on average than having 15,000 people paying $60 on average. I hope that math works out.
I think that math does work out. And I know what you're saying. Do you think there's any like element that goes into the equation though, of the fact that
they want to have fans there?
Yeah. You want to have fans there when you're,
Think it is, man. I think it's a business.
When you go to these games, even I think it comes through watching on TV. They're not loud crowds. There's a lot of empty seats. And,
to be fair, we've always been a pretty, well, when I used to go a lot.
Yes, it's never been a great younger, crowd.
It's not a rowdy crowd. We're a good crowd. We're a very polite Minnesotan crowd. But we're not as rowdy. You know, people in the lower deck don't get as into it a lot of times, you know, the closer to the court you get. So I think that hurts. But yeah, no, I think they're trying to make a profit. And as a result, they've priced a lot of people out of Wolves games, or those people who are willing to pay, you know, maybe $30 for that first row in the upper deck versus $10 for further back. you know, now it's like probably $50 for the first row on the upper deck and $20 to $30 for the way far back. So it's, I think the pricing equation's off, but honestly, they're probably making more money.
So I like going to the extremes to like really break down the logic of things. So let's say they have two choices. They could either sell 10,000 seats for an average of $100, which if my math is right, that's $1 million, or sell one ticket for $2 million. So they could have 10,000 people in the stands or one person in the stands. But if they have one person, they make twice as much. Which do you think the team would want to do?
What do you think Glenn Taylor would do? I think you take the one person.
I don't think so. I really don't.
Okay.
But at some point, you need fans in the arena. I think the revamp of the Target Center, once that's done, is going to help. People are going to want to check it out. I got to say, the fan experience there is lacking relative to other arenas just because the Target Center is not the best. The food's terrible. It's hard to get a decent drink. I've said it before, but it really stands out to me. The seats are gross. And like, I know that's going to get fixed, but like, it actually like factors into my decision a little bit if I'm going to go to a game or not. It's like, oh, I got to sit in a gross seat, pay like $70. So anyways, I don't want to keep this too negative. I think some of this is going to be fixed once they start winning, but it just stands out to me. I was surprised we were last in the league still at attendance, given the positivity around the team this year, not just on a local level, but on a national level as well.
I agree. There's a lot of buzz. You know, if we winning will help. Winning cures a lot of things. I just don't think people want to pay a lot of money to go watch a young team go through growing pains and lose close games. So
yeah, I agree. Let's move on, Brian. I have a few items here which may be better put into the stats segment, but let's just talk about Britt Robson.
Let's talk about it.
Britt Robson of the MN Post wrote an article about Karl Anthony Towns. It was not positive, which I actually like seeing. Like, it's hard to be someone in the local press that criticizes players or the team, just because then you usually get reduced access, and it's sort of this tough balancing act. So good for him for sort of writing this article. I mean, it wasn't all negative, but it basically said Towns is good, has a great attitude and wants to win, and is saying all the right things. But when you look at some of the metrics, there's some alarming things, such as when Towns is on the court in games he's played in, opponents score 115.7 points per 100 possessions. When he's not on the court, they scored 94.4 points per 100 possessions. That's a difference of 21.1 points, which more than covers the positive effect of having him on the court on offense. Brian, are we surprised by this stat?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing on offense, but yeah, I'm not totally surprised to hear it. I mean, he's still some work to do on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, I was surprised how extreme it was. It's not the best way probably to measure his performance, but on a high level, I think it does tell a story. Another thing Britt brought up in the article.
Come on, buddy.
I can't talk. Britt and Brat, put those words together. He brought up in the article was that Towns has been relying more on himself when the games are close. So in games 1 to 5 points, the amount of shots he gets that are assisted shots plummets the closer the game is. So basically, our offense is sort of becoming hero ball as the game gets closer, which is essentially the opposite of what you would want to happen. I don't know how much of that falls on Towns, how much of that falls on his teammates, and how much of it falls on coaching, but that's alarming, and that's something that's very fixable, though, right?
Yeah, I do. I think part of that will come from coaching. I think we've encouraged hero ball late in games. First, it was Wiggins. We're seeing a little bit more Towns, and we just have such talented players on offense. We should be able to figure this out and get them to work together for even better shots. Like, we have three legit 20-point-per-game scorers. Like, I think if you put Zach on a different team, like, put Zach in Sacramento, he's probably averaging, like, 25.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So we have some good dudes who know how to score. So we should be able to get a good look from one of three really good scorers with a close game on the line. So that's frustrating that we are resorting to a lot of ISOs. I do think a Towns ISO it's a good shot. I do think one thing I've also heard this from other people, but you notice when you watch the games, he's got to get better at reading the defense. He's driving a lot, which I like because he can beat a lot of centers off the dribble, as we've talked about. But he's drawing doubles and he's still forcing up the shot. Like, if he got better at finding maybe Gorgie for that 15-foot shot when his man comes down to fill the lane, or if he got better at finding open dudes in the corners, it'll be really deadly. But he's talented enough. Like, 2 years from now, he'll probably average, you know, 5 assists per game. But yeah, he's just not quite there yet.
I think that's true. I mean, the takeaway of the article wasn't like Towns is underperforming. If you look at his stats this year, they're better than his stats last year. There are just some things that are a little alarming. One thing, I don't want to read too much into this, but it seems like him and Rubio have something. I don't want to. When I watch the games, when Rubio tries to talk to Towns, he does not want to listen to Rubio. And I don't really know what to take away from that, but at times I question, you know, when Towns says all the right things and says he's listening to everyone, he just wants to be the best. In those words, there's no ego, right? He's saying he really doesn't have an ego, but he absolutely
he has an ego.
He has to have an ego, right? So it makes me think the words aren't as genuine as maybe you'd hope. And again, I don't want to go overly negative on Towns. He's having a fine season. I just, you know, I hope he's truly open to the coaching that he says he is.
Yeah, I hope so too. And interesting you say that. Tweet came out yesterday from Zagoda that after the game, when teammates were laughing, Towns told everyone to be quiet and stop having fun while he got ready and showered and got dressed.
That's kind of weird.
So you think that's weird? There was a bit of conversation about this on Timberwolves Reddit, but do you think it's good or bad? I mean, it is kind of weird that he would come in and say, you know, everyone shut up. But
I think
he's just trying to be competitive?
I think it's bad. I think it's him trying to be a leader and show leadership, but I think he's doing it the wrong way in that case. I think a thing like that sort of probably turns his teammates off. I imagine when he's not in the room, they'd maybe roll their eyes at each other or sort of like give a weird look to each other and something like that. You know, to be a leader, be a leader on the court and during games. Something like this would, you know, if I was on the team, it would turn me off. I wouldn't think more highly of him because of it.
Yeah, it's frankly, it's got to be hard for everyone, including him. Like, you know, he just turned 21. And he's getting so much smoke blown up his ass. He's on the cover of ESPN, the magazine this week.
I know he led the annual survey of GMs. Who would you start your team with?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Most
he's basically
of them
saying
him.
He's the most desired player in the NBA right now. He's trying to process that. His teammates probably don't love it, especially Wiggins, who's just going nuts right now, playing out of his mind. Zach's really good. Zach gets his attention, though, from the dunk contest. And, you know, he does a lot. He's awesome, frankly, but it's not translating to wins for his team. And he gets all this attention. People are probably not loving it, you know? Or maybe they're worried he's out to get his and not out for everyone else.
Yeah, I agree. It's a concern. I mean, for a lot of people, it's the opposite of McDonald's. They're not loving it. And that's an issue.
I mean, honestly, offense, we couldn't really ask for much more. I don't think he's a selfish player. I think this is all the young guys at the end of games are trying to help in the way they know how, and they're trying to take it on their shoulders and win the game. It may come from a place of selfishness. I think it comes from a lack of structure, knowing what to do, and more of a team system. The coaching is choosing to ISO. But no, offense, we couldn't really ask for more for Towns. I think defense is really where he really needs to step up.
I think so too. And I think Thibs knows that and is going to work with him. I hope Cat has an open mind and is surrounding himself with the right people and doesn't turn into sort of a prima donna. It's a little bit of a concern of mine. I think that's the only thing stopping him from being truly great. So we'll see. I guess time will tell. And
mm-hmm.
Cat, we still love you.
Yeah, obviously. We're two dudes on the internet. It's our job to pick things apart and be haters.
I know, it's true. It's like he's still, even with Wiggins going off lately, like Towns is still the best player on our team. So I wouldn't stress too much. Brian, you talked about Wiggins being great lately. He was quoted recently. I love this quote. He said, quote, "At times last year, I would drift to the corner and stay there. I'm just being more active. My awareness is higher. I'm doing more," unquote. I don't think he could say something else that would make me happier than that quote. I mean, we criticized him a lot last year for literally that exact thing. So it's good that it's in his head that he did do that a little bit and he can't do that anymore. I mean, I credit Thibs for that, even if he had nothing to do with it. I'm gonna give him some cred there.
Yeah, he's gonna get a lot of the credit. No, I agree. He's
looking a little better. I'd still like to see more of an all-around game from him, but in his last five, his rebounds are up to five from his traditional four. Assist is up one per game.
I mean, when he scores 47 on high efficiency, like, I don't care how many rebounds he gets.
I do.
You still do?
Yeah.
He looked like Kobe Bryant in that game.
He was awesome in that game. He's got to figure out ways to contribute when his shot's not going in. Like, that's basically what it comes down to.
I agree with that. Kind of like last night.
Last night, yeah. Five turnovers, four rebounds, one assist, one block, and going 2 for 11. Like, he's good enough. He should be able to have a meaningful impact on the game when his shot's not going in. Or maybe, again, he's just DeMar DeRozan. But he should be able to do other stuff. He's very talented. The quote would have made me happier if he would have referenced defense specifically. I tweeted this out a few nights ago, but just, like, watching the Sixers game on a fast break, they had a 2-on-2, and Wiggins basically just stood there while one dude cut in front of him, and then I think it was Stauskas beat Gorgie to the basket, and he didn't rotate over at all, so he just got a layup. Stuff like that that's really easy to fix, like, that's just effort, man, paying attention. It's frustrating that he doesn't bring it on both sides of the ball.
I agree. I think that's fair. One other thing I want to talk about, Brian, is we have the worst bench in the league on offense. Our bench is averaging 23.3 points per game. We also have the fewest bench minutes played in the NBA, which I thought was interesting. So, you know, looking at the points per game, and we also have the fewest minutes, isn't the best metric, but in overall efficiency, we're second to last, only behind Washington. So I think watching the games, it's not surprising our bench is maybe the worst in the league. This got me thinking, Brian, would you bring Zach LaVine off the bench?
No.
You wouldn't?
No, I don't think so. I think staggering him with the bench a bit more would be effective, which they're starting to do a little bit, so he can beat up on second units.
I think of all of our starters, he's like the one who would be most valuable to be on the court with the bench, because our bench has no offense. It's really bad.
His belly.
There is Belly. He had one good game this week, so there's that.
He's good for one a week, yeah. Yeah, I think just staggering him with the bench more and then let Wiggins come back in with the starters and kind of do his thing with Kat. No, I like having Zach out there because we start games so strong.
That's true.
Like, we usually come out and just blow them away. We just got to figure out how to do it again in the third quarter, and we'll be fine.
That's exactly right. Okay, I think I'm fine with that. I think that's a good solution. We have to do something, though. I know people are optimistic our bench was going to be better. This year, it's not. I mean, it's bad. It's also disappointing. I got to say, I'm a little disappointed with Chris Dunn. I know he's only, 12 games into his NBA career, but he's, like, behind Tyus Jones on the depth chart now. And
Dunn's kind of bad.
And that's, I mean, that's not good.
I mean, if you watched the game last night, it was rough. Like, he missed layups, he missed some really open threes. He fouled out.
Like, he's tall, quick, and long, but he hasn't put it together.
And I will say, on defense, I've been pretty happy with watching him. I like the way he gets into passing lanes. He's athletic, man. But just watching him in offense, he doesn't look very confident dribbling the ball up the court. Even he's like pretty quick to back guys down. And I think that'll just come with time and adjusting to pace in the NBA and the defense he'll face. But yeah, he's not looking good. And there's thus far not a lot of reason for great hope. I know it's really
it's 12 games. Okay,
it's 12 games. Let's calm I know. Down. Okay. It's 12 games, but it's, you know, it's like 15% of the season.
That's what you always do when you want to.
It's not nothing.
When you want to make a point.
It's not nothing. It's meaningful.
Convert the amount of games in a percentage of the season.
Yeah, well, wait till it's 8 more games and we're a quarter way done with the season. It's gonna mean everything. Yeah,
I will give you this.
Dunn sucks.
I had hope that Dunn would be significantly better out of the gate than he has been. I've been disappointed, but I'm not willing to say 12 games in, he's a disaster and a bust.
Oh, no. Yes, yeah. Sorry. And I don't think he'll suck forever. I'm just saying, like, right now, things are not going well for him. He'll figure it out, hopefully, but it'll take some time. He's further away from contributing than I thought it would be. He seemed like the one dude that everyone thought would come in and make a difference.
Totally agree. He's not as NBA ready as we hope. I mean, he was a lot of people's pick for Rookie of the Year. People thought he was that NBA ready, and obviously that looks ridiculous at this point. So, Brian, you have any other news and notes?
Yeah, real quick. What do you think of the Payne Project? He's finally getting a bit more minutes. In the last four games, he's averaged about 12 minutes, and he's actually been pretty, well, I won't say effective, but he does stuff, as he always does.
I'm not a buyer. He's had stretches in the past where coming off the bench, he had good 12-game stretches, but I think it's more desperation than anything. Like, our bench is that bad. Why not give Payne some more minutes? And he's been playing well, so let's continue to give him minutes. But I don't think he's going to be a contributor long term.
He's just awful to watch. Like, you know, when he touches the ball, he's going to try and make something happen every time.
Yes. No, you're exactly right. It's like, you ever heard of, like, just continuing to swing the ball?
He's like, well, I guess you gave it to me. You want something to happen. No, I mean, against the Lakers, he looked great. He had 10 points in 9 minutes, was 2 for 2 from three. But then in the Memphis game, he still had 6 points, 2 steals, a few rebounds, 15 minutes, but 2 turnovers, one of them where he was just dribbling down court. He also dribbles way more than he should. He just dribbled the ball off of his knee, and it rolled to Memphis. And then the last three games, he's averaging 4 fouls a game in about 13 minutes. So his per-minute foul rate is pretty nuts.
Yeah, I think it's desperation. Our bench, when you have the worst bench in the league, you might as well play different guys, different minutes.
I mean, why do you think our bench has gotten worse?
Mostly
because it doesn't totally make sense to me.
I mean, Shabazz has played, you know, he's almost non-existent at this point.
He's been hurt. He missed a few games.
Yeah, still, he's underperformed when he's been on the court. Bielitsa just kind of is who he is. He's not someone who can drive a bench unit on offense. He can contribute a little bit, you know.
I know, but he seems like he should be able to when you watch him. Like, when you watch him in the Lakers game, you're like, damn, this dude is good. But then there's, like, the Memphis game where he's 0 for 4 and doesn't really have an impact at all.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, he's wildly inconsistent. Cole Aldrich is not very good. I mean, we thought he'd not be not very good.
You thought he'd be meaningfully better than he is?
I thought he'd be slightly better than he has been, yeah.
I thought he'd get more buckets than he did. He actually got some buckets with the Clippers, but he hasn't really done that for us.
I agree. I thought he could contribute more offensively. And, you know, with the Clippers, though, even on the bench unit, he was around better players. So I think it made a little easy. His game isn't like create his own offense necessarily. So,
and then I know, but I thought he'd get some more putbacks, like maybe get some more per minute rebounds than he is. But
yeah, and like Brandon Rush has been a disappointment. He's someone who I'm pretty sure Thibs was hoping could play a lot of minutes this year. Looking at how much he played in preseason and towards the start of the year, I think Thibs was hoping he could play 20 minutes a game. Obviously, that's not going to happen. It's just down the line. Players have been disappointed. I mean, my boy,
well, yeah,
Tyus
again,
Jones,
he's been hurt.
He has, again, when he's been on the court, he hasn't been effective. Tyus Jones has probably been the brightest spot of our bench.
That's sad.
Which is sad. But, you know, good for Tyus.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to call him a bright spot. He's like Trey Burke 2.0. But a little bit better shooter. Yeah, it's interesting to see us play Payne. I think you're right. It is kind of a desperation thing. When Rush and Shabazz are out, we got to play someone. I'd almost rather play Jordan Hill, but we'll see. Yeah, maybe we try and trade him. I think they would love to get rid of him. Don't know if there's any takers out there.
Who are you talking about?
Payne.
Oh, what? Yeah, of course there's not takers. What are you talking about? We'll trade Payne.
It was funny when Kevin Harlan was announcing the Sixers game. He's like, when Payne came in, he got the ball 3-point line. He's like, Payne can hit from out there. And he shot it and it bricked off the back of the rim. Someone got the rebound, passed it to him. He's like, going for it twice. And it bricks off the back of the rim. It's like, oh, it's such a Payne moment.
I mean, yeah, like theoretically, he can hit from out there. Like, I don't know.
Like, I've seen him do it once.
What do you think? He's a career 31% 3-point shooter?
Yeah, probably. I mean, low.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't be shooting threes. On that topic, Brian, Cat should shoot fewer threes.
I kind of like the Cat threes, bro.
I just don't like them. It like takes him out of his game. It puts him in weird positions. I don't think he's going to end up being a good 3-point shooter. I just think it's unnecessary.
Okay. I don't agree. I think they're good shots. I think he can blow by guys on the perimeter. I think he's a good passer, so it helps to have him get the ball where he can see the floor. So I'm fine with it. And also, we have, I think, the second best offensive rebound rate in the NBA. So the numbers would support that it's not hurting us at all on that end. So suck it.
Man, no, you're right. I'm surprised by that. Good for us.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's Gorgui.
Anything else?
The only other kind of high level thing that I wanted to get into, and I know we're really hard on him, and and you know where I'm going with this, but do you think Ricky's regressing?
No, I think he's the same player he has been. I think he's looking to score slightly less this year than last year, and that's probably okay.
Yeah, he seems hesitant to shoot even at the rim. He's shooting threes, and it's like always, right? Like, they look close, like they hit like the inside of the rim and bounce off the other side and go out. Like, they don't look like bad shots.
He has the same shot.
I know.
He's just the same guy year after year. Like, you know, we're still better when he plays than when he doesn't, but we also don't have a very good backup point guard. Yeah, I don't think he's regressing, but he's just is who he is, and it's frustrating at times when he seems
a little worse this year to me. And then his assist numbers, I thought, would go up. He's got a lot of talent around him, and he's just not having the same impact when he's out there.
Yeah, we run a little bit more isolation on offense than I'd like to see, and that could help his assist numbers. You know, he absolutely does not look to score really at all anymore. And I mean, he has a lot of games where he's 5 points kind of numbers, which is, it's tough, right? I know there's a lot of Ricky defenders out there. I always say that when we talk about Ricky, but I mean, I don't know how you're watching the games this year and like being like, yeah, Ricky, he's definitely like a top 10 point guard. I mean,
but it's real plus minus.
I mean, that's not like a defensible position at this point. Like, I don't think it is. Like, I don't care. Like, just watch the games. I don't know what to say.
I agree. He seems a little bit worse to me this year. The past two games, big sample size, but he's averaging 3.6 assists in 30 minutes. So, not really having a huge positive impact there. So,
do you think he's checking out slightly? I mean,
mom just passed away. He's got to be sad. That's got to be a distraction.
She did. I mean, I thought that was like 3 months ago. Obviously,
God, what a jerk.
Well, no, obviously it still hurts a lot. Like, that's still really recent, but like, I don't think that's probably affecting his play. I would think. I think it's more Thibs made it pretty clear he doesn't really love Rubio. The fact we almost traded him before Thibs even coached a game, that's got to be a turnoff to Rubio. And he's had a desire to play for a bigger market for a little while, it seems, and he's been in trade rumors, and maybe all that's adding up a little bit.
Yeah, though, those are good points. Okay, I am good. Those are the news and notes I had.
All right. What do you want to do next, Brian?
Should we talk a little bit about some of the stats? Should we mix it up?
Yeah, let's get into stats, and then we can do good, bad, ugly, and where are they now, mailbag.
So when I look at the numbers, and I focused a lot on defense, because I think we would agree offense has not been our problem this year, right?
No, it is not.
We have dudes who can score. Wiggins looks freaking amazing. I think he's 8th in the league in scoring at 26, which is weird because normally that would be top 5, but DeMar DeRozan's going nuts. Harden's having a great year. Russ, Davis, etc. So, but anyways, offense has not been a problem. We have basically 3 dudes around 20 points or more. So when you look at our defense, and what's interesting when I look at some of the stats on NBA.com, they actually have really good team stats. There's some things that we're actually good at and getting quite a bit better at. So one, we've actually improved quite a bit in stopping the 3. So we're top 5 in the NBA in 3-pointers allowed per game. And also we're close to the top in opponent 3-point percentage. So our opponents from 25 feet and back are shooting only 29%. And from 20 to 24 feet, they're only shooting 36%. So on average, our opponents are shooting about like 33% from 3, which is pretty good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's very good. Where's it all going wrong?
Well, I'll get there. Hold on. And one other thing that we're doing well, not a surprise, we have young athletic guys, is we're actually 2nd in the league in deflections. So we're getting in passing lanes. Like I said, I think that's something that Dunn is really good at. Ricky's always been really good at it.
Yeah.
Two dudes good at that. And then Wiggins sometimes gets out there on defense. He's good on-ball defender, but when he's off, he just doesn't pay attention. So anyways, we're getting in passing lanes. And then we're also, because of that, we're top 5 in opponent assists per games. And we're actually top 10 in the league in forcing turnovers. So those two are great. We're also a better defensive rebound team than I thought. I mentioned we're 2nd in the league in offensive rebounding percentage. So percent of shots that go up while we're on offense that we recover, we actually get about 28%, which is pretty good. Defensive rebounding wise, we're fine. So here's where the problems come in. We are awful at stopping in the paint. So points in the paint and second chance points. So our opponents shoot 63% at the rim, which is terrible.
Wow.
The only teams that are worse than us are the Rockets, the Kings, and the Lakers, which Rockets, not surprising, they're like don't really care about defense. And like the Kings, pretty garbage, and the Lakers also kind of garbage. So that makes sense. But you'd think it'd be surprising, right? We're starting two traditional centers and we still can't stop guys at the rim.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's kind of surprising when you phrase it that way, but it's not, right, when you watch the games. Gorgie and Kat, they're not really rim protectors on defense, even though
not at all.
They're seven-footers and they are traditional centers. But that's not really how they play, so I guess I'm not super surprised by that. What's the solution to that? They play better?
They got to get better. Yeah, I don't know. Like we can't start a third center to try and help with our problems, and we're rebounding well, so they're in good position to get the ball back once we do get a stop. But I think they're just not strong at protecting the rim, and I think we're still pretty bad at rotating on defense. And I think that's where being a young team and getting into a new system is, that's where we feel it the most, is off the ball rotation. Because of that, like, dudes can drive past us. We don't have the help defense we need. I do think we're actually rotating well in the perimeter if you watch us. Dudes are not getting open looks, as I mentioned, but in the paint is where we struggled. One other thing that we're also kind of bad at is mid-range. Our opponents shoot 46% in the mid-range, which I think is third highest in the league. So basically everything in the three-point line is where we're losing out. But I think we've made a focus to stop the three, and it's had a positive impact. And, you know, we're not blowing.
Has it, though? It seems like we're closing out, like we're over-committing on stopping those threes. And that, like, puts our defense out of position. And it's opening up for us up for open mid-range jump shots and little, like, drop-offs to the post for layups and dunks.
Would you rather have the open three? Advanced stats say no. You should take the inside shots, mid-range shots.
I mean, I agree with that. It's just a matter of degree, right? So if we're giving up, let's say opponents shoot 4% better from three, but in turn, the other, you know, our mid-range goes from 48 to, let's say, 38 or 40, and at the rim goes from 62 to, like, 56, that's a net positive right there, probably. So, it's...
But I don't think our at the rim will go down that much because our centers are weak rim protectors.
Well, that's true, but a lot of that, I think you're right, is us being out of position. There's so many possessions, I'm, like, watching the plays in my head right now, where, like, let's say LaVine goes to close out on a three-point shooter. Three-point shooter waits for LaVine to go by, starts driving to the rim. Gorgie steps out to guard him, and now the weak side is open, and he dumps it off for, like, an open shot or layup. I mean, that play plays out a lot for the team.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
So, yeah, maybe we're over-committing to stopping the three, as crazy as that sounds. I know you don't want people to shoot threes against you, but that's what the numbers are kind of telling me.
And maybe it'll be curious to see if that gets better as the season goes on, as dudes learn how to rotate better. But I think that's fair. Our focus on the three has led to opportunities elsewhere, which is the choice we've made. And we'll just need to see longer term if that's the right choice.
Yeah, I think that's true. These numbers are very interesting, though.
One other thing we're pretty garbage at, so related to that, overall, our opponents have the fifth highest effective field goal percentage in the league at 52%. We also foul a lot. We're second worst in the NBA at free throw percentage. So relative to the amount of shots that our opponents are taking, they result in free throws at a really high rate, which I think was around 30% of the time.
That's not surprising.
I think that comes And I think that comes with being young, playing dudes like Adrian Payne who are going to get a foul every 3 minutes they're in. Cole Aldridge. That stuff's just going to happen, and we're paying the price for it. Obviously, our bench gets outscored a lot. So that's another one. And then we're also pretty bad in allowing points off turnovers and fast break points. Our turnover rate is not ridiculously high, but we have some bad ones, and they happen at the top of the key, and they just lead to easy buckets on their team, and that hurts us.
Yeah, it does. I don't have anything to add there.
No. So those are inexperienced things. This year hopefully is the last year where we keep seeing this, and next year we're a more cohesive unit, and we get rid of some of this garbage and start winning these close games. Because, I mean, stuff like that, that's like a 2 or 3 point per game difference. And that's all we need to go from, 4-8 to 8-4.
You're exactly right.
So my take from looking at the numbers is it's been bad variance. Outside of a couple things, we're actually doing quite well. We're also one of the top teams in points off turnovers ourselves. Our pace is pretty low. We tend to control the ball, which is a Tibbs staple, I feel like. But our true shooting percentage is in the top 7. So we just got to clean up some stuff and we'll be super good.
Agreed. Interesting breakdown, Brian. Good numbers. Way to go.
Thanks, bro.
We're like talking stats and quantitative stuff.
We're like a real podcast.
I know. We're like real modern fans. Should we quickly do good, bad, and the ugly?
Yeah, let's blow through these.
Yeah, let's do this very quick because there's five games and we're already kind of going over on time. Okay, we're going to start with a... What are we starting
Clippers
with?
Game.
Yeah, we're starting with a 119-105 loss at home versus the Clippers. The Clippers crushed us in the first quarter and never really looked back. I'm giving the good to Cat. Brian, who's your bad?
My bad is going to be our rebounding. This was really the difference for us. Our defensive rebounding the game, we only had 24. We could have done a little bit better job picking those up. DeAndre Jordan had 16 rebounds, Blake Griffin at 11. Our big guys really got crushed. Dang only had 5 rebounds. So I think that was one of the differences in this game.
I'm giving my ugly to us giving up 15 points to Bahamute. I don't know if he ever scored 15 when he played for us. He had an aversion to score. Like, he couldn't score. For him to put up 15 going 6-for-8 from the floor, including 2-for-3 from beyond the arc, is quite frankly shocking and just terrible.
Yeah, that's good variance for them.
I mean, he couldn't even make layups, like, when he was with us.
Yeah, it was tough. No, Wiggins wasn't efficient this game. He wanted to show out a little bit. Again, Rubio not helping a ton, not putting up big numbers. But no, I mean, you know, I don't feel like we played so garbage in this one. This one, we actually just got beat by a much better, more experienced team.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to a win, a 119-99 win at home against the Lakers. We had yet another bad third quarter in this game, but we played so well in the other three, it didn't matter. We put up 36 in the first, 33 in the second, and 38 in the fourth. Wiggins crushed
it. So many points.
Well, I know. I mean, we scored 125 with only scoring 18 in the third quarter. Wiggins crushed his previous career high of 36, scored 47 points in this game. For a little context, all Lakers starters combined for 47 points in this game.
It was pretty sick. The crowd went nuts when he shot a three late in the game to go for 50. Which rimmed out. But yeah, Wiggins was he was really fun to watch this game.
Yeah, this was very fun. This was a Wiggins, like, don't forget about me game. I might be the best player on the team. And I had a lot of fun.
Do you think he is? So far, he has been.
I don't think he is, no. Just because he's empty calories on a lot of the other stuff. But, I mean, he's in. You could make a case.
Yeah, he's really good at scoring.
Brian, my good is Wiggins.
Obviously.
I don't know what else to say. He 14-for-21 from the field, shot 22 free throws, made 17 of them, 2-for-5 from beyond the arc.
His mid-range looks really good right now. Like, he's super effective at scoring in the mid-range, which, good and bad, right? Like, we don't want to shoot a ton of mid-range shots, but he's making them, so why not?
Yeah, his shooting overall just is better this year. I mean, he's better from three, better from the mid-range. Still, I think about the same at the rim, I would guess, without looking at the numbers. But, yeah, better shot overall.
So interesting thing for me from this game was starting Belly, and he played freaking awesome. 24 points, we'll say whatever. Just this is another bad, like bad, it's good. He was awesome. Shot 5-for-8 from three. His stroke looked good. He was shooting deep threes. And this game, he was the dude we hoped he could be. And maybe the answer is to start him more going forward. Because he's a rhythm player, right? Like, he's used to Euro, he's used to motion and being in the game, not coming in for 10 minutes and, like, playing iso ball.
That is pretty interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing that from time to time. It seems like he does fit a lot better with the starters. Like, he's one of those guys who's, like, a lot better when he has good players playing
yes.
with him.
Yes, he's one of those dudes, if you put him on the Spurs, he would be an NBA dog.
You're absolutely right. No, that's pretty interesting. I mean, that kind of gets back to my question before, like, you can, you know, basically not start Levine, put Bielitsa in there, and bring Levine off the bench once in a while.
Yeah, that's a really big lineup. It probably hurt us on giving up threes.
I mean, yeah, it's a gigantic lineup.
What sucks is it doesn't really help us to have Dang move to the second unit because you're not going to iso him on offense. Like, that's not a good play. He's more, again, like a rhythm guy, like hitting open mid-range shots, coming off Cat, drawing double teams, so... I don't know if the answer is to have him start and move Gorgon to the bench or just use the starting lineup and have Zach come off the bench. But yeah, Zach would definitely feast on second teams. So we could try it. I don't think it would lead to many more wins, though.
It'll be interesting. I think they should try some things, though. You might as well. My ugly for this one, it's a tie. It goes between Chris Dunn for getting fewer minutes than Tyus Jones and Gorgie, who after he got paid, he's just bad now, Brian. So there's that.
He's the same. He just had a really good variance at the right time and got him like an extra $8 million on his contract.
It's actually really true. You're right. He is the same. He's had plenty of stretches before where he scores 4 points, 4 points. Then all of a sudden he's putting up like 26.
Yeah. I mean, in the last three, he's averaging 11 and 11 with three assists and a block and a steal. And that's, you know, close to his ceiling. So
yeah,
pay him his money.
Apparently that's worth $16 million a year.
Sadly, it probably is.
Good to be an NBA player. let's move on. 115 to 108 loss at home against Charlotte. Again, that third quarter, we got outscored by 19 points, 36 to 17. Basically the reason we lost this one. Brian, who's
basically
good? Well, I mean, there's other reasons, but yeah.
No, that was the only reason. Yeah, we're so strong in the first half. We put up 58 points. I think until this Grizzlies game, the least we'd scored in a half in a first half was 50. But man, these third quarters are just really ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. Who's your good, though?
My good, I'm going to give it to Zach. 5 for 10 on three. Got some buckets. The best relative performance of the starters, his plus minus was -1, whereas Towns is -18, Rubio 19. So Zach for his shooting, keeping us in this one.
Fair enough. My bad is going to go to Chris Dunn. I just want to highlight again.
Stop beating up on Dunn, dude.
You know, it's frustrating. I thought he was going to be better. Tyus decided to not play this game because Thibs told him he couldn't. and Dunn still only managed to get 13 minutes, 4 points coming off the bench.
I don't know. This is actually one of his better games. 4 points, three assists, block and a steal. See, he'll get you that block and a steal, which I like. So just got to figure out what he's going to do on offense. And my ugly is our ball control. Our starters took awful care of the ball, combined for 16 turnovers, 5 from Gorgie, which what is he doing, even putting himself in a position to get 5 turnovers? 4 from Wiggins, probably forcing the action a bit much, and then 3 from Towns. 4 from Rubio, but that's fine. Like, he's going to have 8 assists. He's trying to make stuff happen. But, yeah, the rest of the team, not super impressive in taking care of the ball. And as a result, they had 10 steals, and we got our butts kicked.
Kind of a seesaw of a week. We'll move on to an 86-110 win against the 76ers. I had a lot of fun watching this game. It was just nice. I mean, obviously, we should beat the 76ers, but we beat them in convincing fashion. We did not have a terrible third quarter, which was nice to see. And Kat's pump fake drive dunk when Embiid
was
guarding
cool.
him was so sick.
That was cool.
It was the highlight of probably the season so far for me. So for that reason, my good is going to Towns, just for that play alone.
Nah, I disagree, man. It's got to go to Wiggy. 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 for 6 from 3.
I mean, clearly Wiggy had a better game, but that play was so sick.
Fair. Well, fair enough. If that's what you want to do. No, I mean, the Sixers are trash. You just watch them play. Like, they give up such easy buckets. They don't cover guys in transition. They don't rotate well. You know, we won by 25 points and we only had 18 assists. Yeah, they're really garbage. So, but it was fun to watch beat up on another young team. My bad goes to the entire 76ers team for making us watch them play basketball.
You sent me a Snapchat this week, Brian. Was that from this game?
Yeah, that was this game. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
You guys should check out our Twitter. It's a video of Tibbs yelling at Belly to cut down an offense. Then when he doesn't do it after yelling at him twice, he just yells, "God damn it!"
It was incredible.
God, it was so funny. It was so classic Tibbs. No, my real bad is probably Okafor. In the games last year where it was Okafor versus Towns, it actually looked really even. Okafor really brought it. But this one, he just couldn't get in a rhythm, didn't look good, and has been really marginalized. I think he would benefit from a trade. His value has gone way down this year, but he's still a talented dude who can score.
Yeah, that's true. My ugly is going to Rubio. 4 points, 1 for 6 from the field, 0 for 4 from beyond the arc. A little concerning, though, only 5 assists, 4 rebounds, so didn't really fill out the box score like he has in the past. Did have 3 turnovers. We are running a bit different offense this year in that Rubio doesn't just like dribble around and distribute the ball like the majority of plays like he did in the past. So I would expect his assist numbers to be down this year. I don't think that's necessarily all on him, but it is disappointing when he only puts up four points in 25 minutes.
Yeah, I agree. But it's fine. We won. We didn't really need much more this game.
Okay, we'll move to the last game from this week. This was kind of a disaster. 71-93 was the final. I think the Wolves only scored under 70 like 4 times in franchise history or something like that. I think friend of the pod Dave Benn said on the broadcast. So we came close to doing something rare for us. This was another third quarter issue. We put up 13 points in the third quarter. You know, I still think we would have lost. We were just kind of outplayed.
Yeah, they're a veteran team who plays hard on defense, especially at home. It's a tough game for us as a young team.
It is a tough game. And we played a lot of games in the last 10 days. So it seems like the team decided to not totally bring it. Wiggins put up 7. Towns did have 17. Levine actually had a nice game. So my good is going into Levine. 9 for 16 from the field, 4 for 8 from beyond the arc, 22 points. Disappointingly, 0 free throws, but his jump shot was going. So he gets my good.
Yeah, my bad goes to our offense in the third and fourth quarters. We didn't take care of the ball. We started running hero ball. We got really sloppy, and we just looked like garbage. So our 16 turnovers to their 9 were a big part of it. And also their rebounding is where they really crushed us. We gave up 13 offensive boards. We only got 5, so this is one of our worst ones. And they out-rebounded us by 12, and so that was a big part of the difference because both teams were pretty garbage on offense. They shot 38%. We shot 39%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your thesis of we're focusing on threes at the expense of other stuff. They only shot 2 for 18 from 3, so our 3-point defense was fantastic, but we still lost by 22.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, we need to score more than 71 is what it comes down to. Giving up 93 on the road again to Memphis isn't bad. Just offensively, it was terrible.
It was offensive.
Where are we? Do I have to pick an ugly?
Nah, it's fine. I just gave 2.
Okay, nice. All right. Not a great week, but there's some highlights in there. Not terrible.
No, we alternated wins and losses. The Lakers game is one we easily could have dropped. They're playing well this year, and we basically just smoked them. So that was good.
Let's do where are they now?
All right.
Totally awesome. Where are they now?
Raised in Nigeria before moving to Houston, Texas to attend high school. He committed to the University of Arizona for college before changing his mind and declaring for the NBA draft. He was selected
and Duty by... EB.
Yeah, you got it. Not a lot to pick from there. Kind of narrowed it down. He was selected by the Wolves with the 26th overall pick with their first round pick in 3 years because of the Joe Smith debacle. He ended up playing in 19 games over 2 seasons, scoring a total of 40 points in his NBA career, as he was denied a D-League exemption. So the Wolves wanted to send him down to the D-League in his third year, which it wasn't allowed, and the D-League would not give the Wolves the exemption, so they decided to release him. He did make a couple training camps with other teams, but ultimately started his career then playing overseas. He's played for many teams overseas and is currently playing for Auxilium CUS Torino in Italy. I don't know how to say that first word. And that's what's going on with that.
Interesting. I'm actually kind of surprised he kept playing for so long.
But... I know. He's still a professional basketball player. I was surprised by that, too. He flamed out so quick in the league, but he was so young. It's funny, like, if the Wolves were granted that D-League exemption, like, he could have had, like, maybe he could have, like, found his game in the D-League, got a little older, had a decent NBA career. Instead, had a good professional career overseas overall.
Yeah, good for him.
Let's do mailbag, Brian.
Yeah.
You've got mail.
Thanks again for the emails, guys. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter @TWolvesPodcast. Ben writes in. Ben from Seattle. Thanks for the email, Ben. He says, my brother and I are big Wolves fans. I've enjoyed at least part of every game this year with my league pass. I really enjoyed the pod. I've been listening for the past year. Thanks, Ben. According to efficiency metrics, we should be playing much better. We are 5th in offensive efficiency and 20th in defensive efficiency so far. Both are improvements over last year. We should be winning more games, especially since we haven't had a very tough schedule. We've been woefully outscored in the third quarter. What do you think is the issue? Is it just an adjustment period with a new coach, or is it some other reason? He goes on to say, I'm loving how we're shooting, especially Wiggy and Zach. Hopefully we can adjust to Thibs' defensive style because we look good. Thanks for the email, Ben. Brian, is this just bad variance? Is there something else going on with us? You know, according to the metrics, which we spent part of the podcast talking about, we should be better.
Yeah, we should be better. I do think it's a bit bad variance in finishing out games. You know, some of these things, a few plays go differently, and we're, again, like I said, we're easily 6-6 instead of 4-8. So bad variance there, but yeah, I think some learning will come along, and again, we'll figure out what works to finish out these games and be less bad.
Absolutely. Thanks for the email, Ben. Next email is from Christopher. Thank you for the email, Christopher. He wants us to make a move. He said Rubio and Hill to Sacramento in exchange for Rudy Gay, Ty Lawson. Brian, your thoughts on the trade?
I mean, Sacramento probably doesn't do that deal. Yeah. I think Ty Lawson would probably be an upgrade over Rubio right now. Is that harsh?
Yeah, that's harsh. I'm not sure that's necessarily true. But yeah, I don't think this trade would be good for our long-term prospects as a franchise. But it is interesting. Thanks for the email, Christopher. Ben had another email. He said, do you think we should try to hold on to Ricky? We're obviously much better when he plays, but I don't think we'll have the assets to keep him. Ricky also seems to want to play in a bigger market. He goes on to say some notable free agents that we could sign in 2017. Patty Mills, George Hill, Jeff Teague, Sean Livingston, Drew Holiday, Darren Williams, Derrick Rose, Rajon Rondo. Brian, I think we made our opinion fairly clear about this. I don't think we should try to hang on to Ricky necessarily. Your thoughts?
You said you don't think we should, or we should?
I don't think we should. I mean, I don't think we should be like actively looking to deal him for pennies on the dollar, but if the right trade comes up, that's good. And then once he's a free agent, you know, we'll have to evaluate at that time. We still have a few more years before we have to make a decision like that.
Yeah, no, we do have some time. With all the hate on Ricky, dude still knows how to play. It would just be interesting because we don't know the alternative, right? Like, we don't know what it looks like to have maybe a better scoring point guard who's a little bit worse at defense. He's all we've known for the past 7 years because the other guys we've had have been so garbage at point guard. So I'm okay with Ricky for now. He's not hurting us, but yes, I think if he's our point guard, it's going to be really hard for us to get to the next level. Now, do you see us winning do you see us making the conference finals with Ricky Rubio as our point guard? No, I do not.
No, I don't either. And again, this is something we've pointed out. When you look at like the final four teams every year in the playoffs and you look at who their starting point guards are, and they're generally in a little different class than Rubio. So,
said politely.
Next email is from Jamie. Jamie, thank you for the email. He said, I was wondering your thoughts on the following. He sent a link to the Britt Robson article. Thanks for making me aware of that, Jamie. I actually put that in the news and notes because of your email. So we've sort of already talked about it. But a couple things. He said, Rick Brunson stated in a halftime interview that, quote, Andrew Wiggins is our best player, unquote. Maybe there is a creeping sense within the team that Towns is assigning himself superstar role without actually justifying it yet. Perhaps some feel he needs to be taken down a peg or two.
that sounds really nefarious. Like, what are you going to do to him?
We did talk a lot about this earlier as well, Jamie, that, yeah, maybe Towns is trying to be more of a leader than he has to be at this point, maybe not doing it in the right way. I am a little surprised people would outright say Andrew is our best player. I'm not sure why you would say that, but yeah, I don't know. And he also goes on to say that he noticed that Towns and Rubio seem to have maybe issues. This is something I also noticed, Jamie, so thanks for pointing that out. Brian, who is our best player?
Thus far, it seems like it's been Wiggins. He's been so good on offense lately. Like, he's scoring from everywhere. He's shooting threes well. Could be variance, but it's really good variance if it is just variance. So I don't know, man. It seems like Wiggins is doing more to win games. Cat's doing more lately, but it's not been as effective.
Yeah, I still think Cat's our best player, but Wiggins has been playing better far this season is how I would phrase that.
Yeah, that's true.
Last email is from Mark. Mark's from Poland, if I remember right. Mark, thank you for the email. Says, Adam and Brian, first of all, thanks for featuring my email on your podcast 2 weeks ago. I knew Sam Jacobson would be intriguing Where Are They Now segment, but really had no idea about the fraud case. How the hell did Brian not know it was Sam Jacobson? A few more questions coming to us. One, seems like Belly gained a lot of confidence in the win over the Lakers. 41 minutes and 5 for 8 from long range, career high 24 points. Those are some impressive numbers. With his emergence, whose minutes will suffer? Brian, is Belly going to get more minutes and whose minutes would go down?
I'd like to see Belly get more minutes. I think Shabazz's minutes are going to go down. He hasn't had as big of an impact. Maybe Gorgie's minutes go down a little bit, which I think is okay. Yeah, I'd like to see Belly, and as I mentioned, maybe get some more minutes with the first team and get him more of a rhythm. The Lakers are pretty garbage on defense, so that helped. He's not a very physical guy sometimes. So anyway, more minutes to Belly.
Next question. I love this one. Mark says he read that Wiggins, Towns, and LaVine are now of legal drinking age. They're all 21. Of these three, who would you choose to spend a night out with, and what would your drinking establishment itinerary look like?
Ooh, good question.
I think I would pick LaVine because he seems like most down to party. He's dating an Instagram model. He likes to be seen and go to cool places and get after it. Where would you go?
I'd go straight nightclub with Towns. I know that's kind of like kind of the obvious answer, I guess, but
yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I just feel like that would probably be the funnest night. Wiggins could be sneaky funny though. I could see him going like more like Marvel Bar or something in Minneapolis, someplace a little more like chill and upscale.
I feel like Wiggins would just want to stay home and play video games.
Yeah, I think so too, which would be fun as well.
Yeah, maybe go to Union, check out the rooftop.
Yeah, or Lake Calhoun Chipotle, where I've seen him.
Yeah, maybe you're in his place.
Last question. With the T-Wolves last in the league in attendance, what's it going to take to get people fired up about this team? We talked a bit about this in the first segment, Mark. I think they just need to win, and the Target Center revamp needs to be done, and I think that's going to help. I don't think we're going to be in the top 10 in attendance ever, but that would at least maybe get us to like the bottom two-thirds or something.
Yeah, that would help. Winning always helps. Yeah. Should we go to the next one?
That was it, but Mark finished out his email. He's still planning to get to a game this year and definitely is going to hit up Cowboy Jacks for pregame. A lot of pressure now. Mark, just so you know, Cowboy Jacks isn't like a great place, but it has really good deals. So, you know, if you're coming in town to go to a cool bar, that might not be the one. Maybe go to a cool bar after the game. Hit up Cowboy Jacks, play it low-key before the game. Anyways, thanks for the emails, everyone. We really appreciate it. Brian, you have anything else?
We actually have a lot of Twitter questions.
Oh, man. Do you think we can save them for next week?
Okay, shout out real quick. We'll get to these next week, but shout out to Mike Lewis, Lucas Kofel for the strong questions. We'll get to them more when we got more time. Lucini, thanks for the shout out, and at TWolvesFan12. Great questions. Keep them coming. We'll talk more.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Next week, we'll lead with the Twitter and then go to the emails. Sorry, didn't have time to get to the Twitter, but we will not forget them next week. Keep the emails coming, though. Tweets coming, TimWolvesPodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @TWolvesPodcast, on Facebook, Two Man Wolfpack. Thanks, everyone, for listening, including the international listeners. Talk to you next week.
Bye.